Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Equine Muscle Massage Therapy by Jan Barson, who can be reached at 631-862-1402. Tonight's guests are our very own listeners, and this is a special edition of Signs of Life Radio, where our listeners will be calling in with their own stories of their afterlife encounters. The toll-free number here is 888-627-6008, and we ask that you please not instant message during this particular show. So, good evening to you, Bob.
And hello, Fran. And as you mentioned, this is a special show. We've done one or two of these in over the years in the past, and we should do more because, let's face it, it's something that a lot of people encounter and like to talk about. I don't know about you, but when I think back, 15, 20 years ago, I didn't hear as many people discussing these types of things openly, certainly not as much as I find them today. I mean, do you find the same thing? Is it?
Well, I think, and the spiritualists and metaphysicists will tell you that we are very richly into a shift right now, a shift of consciousness. So there is that understanding and that need to know more about an unseen world. So because of that, there are those brave souls that say, I'm going to talk about it regardless. And they're opening the door and creating that safe atmosphere for other people in the room to say, ah, that happened to me too.
Well, I mean, that is a good point. People will tend not to discuss this until they are given that safe opportunity, where they're not going to be judged. And we've been certainly been in many situations where nobody is saying anything, and all of a sudden one person opens up about an experience they've had, and before you know it, the very deep person they're talking to, who you thought would be the last person to ever discuss such things, starts opening up and all these things start flowing. So it just shows you that it's so prevalent and yet not discussed as much as it should. If I said to you, how would you describe, an after-death communication or an afterlife encounter? I mean, how would you describe it?
How would I describe it?
Yeah.
From my own personal perspective or a layperson's perspective?
Well, from your own perspective.
My own perspective is just any kind of communication or sign that cannot be explained through our normal five senses.
Right, and something I would also probably add to that, something that would make one believe that they are indeed, getting this communication from somebody that's deceased.
Well, we'll make them believe it at least for a little while, because people tend to talk it away later.
Yeah, I find these after-death encounters, some of them are very, very subtle, and they may leave the person, questioning a bit with, whether or not it's real, so to speak. And some are so significant that they just hit you right between the eyes, and they can change you forever. So, and when we talk about these afterlife encounters, we're talking about things, and probably the most common thing is dreams, dream visits. And some people just describe a sense of presence, a tremendous number of people. I felt, my loved one here, and then, of course, people get telepathic messages and sounds and of course the classic messages through mediums and then we have deathbed visions and near-death experiences and electronic voice phenomena, and it goes on and on, but each one means something different to another person. I know we do have some calls starting to come in, so let's take a call.
Because we've had Jackie on the line for line three for a while. You want to take Jackie?
Okay.
All right, Jackie, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Jackie.
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Hey, welcome to the show. Is there something you'd like to share?
I have the greatest story ever.
Okay.
We're ready, Jackie. Go.
This is regarding my cat, believe it or not. And very special cat, had him 21 years. Our relationship is just ridiculous. Nobody understands it. We are extremely close. And I mean, I've always really described it as a very spiritual relationship, almost like a soulmate type thing. It's very weird. But beautiful. Anyway, he passed away on June 2nd, which, of course, was just completely crushing. And the week after he passed away, there was a lot of very strange activity. Just to give you a couple of examples, he was a black cat. An hour after he died, I went outside, and a black cat ran in front of me. I've lived in this house for 6 years, never seen a black cat in this neighborhood. Black cat runs in front of me the night he dies. The night of his cremation, which was 12 days later, by the way, no, 10 days, I'm sorry, there's a black cat in my front yard. One day that week, not related to any particular event, there was this cat in my yard also, actually right at my front door. So, okay, a little strange. I'm not thinking a whole lot about it at that point, but a whole bunch of other interesting things happened. One was I got two phone calls from a 619 area code, which is San Diego, and that's where he was born. We live in Arizona now. And there was no voicemail or anything left, but when I called those numbers back, those lines don't exist. Literally, they're not in service. Two different phone numbers that are only one number apart. So, very odd. Still didn't think a whole lot about that. Then, although I don't know how two numbers are calling me when the lines don't exist, then I got an email that came on my iPhone, and the email, normally you'll see who, the name of the sender is, and there may even be a subject line, what it is. This email said, no sender, no subject. And then a few minutes later, it changed, and then it just said, no sender. And then a few minutes later, it changed again, said, no sender, no subject, no content. And then it changed back again, and no sender. It just kept changing. This went on for hours, and the email wouldn't open. There was nothing there.
We had a little technical difficulty, so we missed a bunch of what you had said. But I know that we're having a lot of synchronicities with the. We lost you at the. You kept seeing a lot of black cats.
Is that the only thing you heard?
Yeah, we had the line went down, so
we lost you kind of after you were seeing many black cats, and you had not yet. It had not yet gotten your real attention.
Okay, so after seeing three different black cats on significant occasions, which I don't know if you heard me say, I've been in this house for 6 years and I've never seen another black cat, so
right.
Very
yeah.
odd, three of them show up in that week. Then I had two phone calls come in that I didn't answer them, of course, I wasn't home, but no voicemails were left, I just saw the number on the caller ID, and it was a 619 area code. For both numbers, and both numbers were only one digit different, the very last digit.
Right.
The significance of the 619 number is that that's where my cat was born and where we used to live. Now we're in Arizona. But anyway, the weird thing about those two calls is that when I called those numbers back, the lines were not in service, neither one of them.
Huh.
So I don't know how a phone line that is not operational called me. But the other weird thing about that is that I was talking to him just out loud, as I've been doing, when those calls came in. It just so happens I didn't answer them. But they came in about an hour apart, and both times I was talking to him. Very strange. I still am not thinking too much about it at that point. Then I got an email that came in on my iPhone, and the email wouldn't open. Which that's weird in and of itself, but weirder than that is normally you can see the person's, you know, name, who's sending it, and then there's
right.
also a subject line usually. So this email, the first time I looked at it, all it said was no sender, and of course the email wouldn't open. Then a few minutes later, it changed and it said no sender, no subject. And then a few minutes later, it changed again, no sender, no subject, no content. And then it changed again and went back to just no sender. And it kept alternating between those three things, and it would never open. But the really weird thing about it is that then I went to the computer to look at this email to try to open it there. The email didn't exist on my computer.
Damn.
And then a little while later, it just vanished off my phone.
I'm sure you would believe, and the evidence seems to point that way, that animals in the afterlife can manipulate things, so to speak, the same way that human consciousness can.
Well, absolutely, and I haven't got to the best story yet that finally convinced me. So that first week, there was all sorts of weird activity, and I was really starting to get suspicious, you know, what was going on here, but still not 100% convinced. Then what happened was about a month later, July 8th was my birthday, and about 3 days, so there was no activity for the next 3 weeks. And then about 3 days before my birthday, I asked him if he would do something on my birthday to let me know that he's still here. And I kept asking him for those 3 days. Well, then on my birthday, the whole day goes by and nothing. So I was starting to get worried, and I was driving in my car, and I said, hello, it was 7 o'clock at night. I said, you've got 5 hours left, come on. And so I happened to be going into a store and presented my debit card to pay, and the card was declined, which there's no apparent reason for this to occur. So they ran it again, and it was declined a second time. So I had to pull out a different card. And there are two other cards that I would normally use in such a situation, and for some reason, I can't even tell you why, I did not use those cards. Instead, I pulled out this third card and just handed it to the clerk, didn't even look at it. I've never even used this card before. I had had it for about 3 years, never once used it. So that's why it's really weird that I would use this card. Handed it to the clerk, and he's running the transaction. And he said, is that your cat? And I said, what are you talking about? He said, is that your cat? What are you talking about? The black cat. By now I'm starting to have a heart attack. All of a sudden he holds up my card so I can see it, and my cat's picture is on the card. I forgot that the credit card company had let me customize this card and put his picture on it. Because like I said, I've never even used this card. You know, I forgot.
Yeah, right.
Completely that this was in my wallet. And I just about, oh my gosh, at that moment, I mean, the tears started pouring. And because the other weird thing is that he was like a 20-year-old kid, you know, a male. I mean, what male would even say anything, you know, about a cat?
I know.
Who cares? Well, you know, so, and if he hadn't said anything, I wouldn't even realize what the card was, I think. I would have just put it right back in my purse.
Yeah.
But it gets worse, or better. Then I still wouldn't let myself be completely convinced, although I was almost convinced. But first I had to go home and check and find out why my card was declined. It turns out my card was not declined. It was approved twice. But somehow, magically, what the clerk got on his screen is that it was declined twice. So then the tears started pouring. Now I am convinced, and for some reason, I cannot tell you why, 2 seconds later, as I'm bawling my head off, I go to the front door for some unknown reason. I look out the window and I see this piece of trash sitting on the walkway. So I open the door to pick up this trash. There's a black cat sitting right on my step.
Well, I think it's clear that...
That you were supposed to adopt this black cat.
Yeah, well, but I am 100% convinced now that he is here and he did all of that. It was just mind-blowing.
Well, I appreciate you sharing with us, and thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye. So, you know, we see that animals in the afterlife. You know, Diana Archangel, who's the author of Afterlife Encounters, you know, she sent me an email, you know, recently, you know, after our, you know, cat passed away, and she said, I forgot to mention, owners of multiple pets have reported at least one of their surviving pets seem to be having afterlife encounters with their departed siblings, or their mother, you know, or father. They've done everything from looking up at certain areas and making a sweet, welcoming meow or a bark to playing with toys if the mate played along, too. So a lot of people certainly can relate to that. Let's go to our next caller.
Okay. We've got Fran from Ohio.
Okay. Hello, Fran.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
How are you?
Good. Do you have
a
story to share with us?
I sure do. My daughter, Jessica, passed away 6 years ago, actually today. And the first Mother's Day after she passed, I was feeling pretty sad, and I was talking to her as I normally do, and I said, "Jess, would you please give me a sign that you're around me?" And Mother's Day came and went. I got no sign. 2 days later, I was driving in my car home from work, and I was listening to one of my CDs that my older daughter had made for me, and there was a particular song that was playing, and it was by Vanessa Williams, and the words of the song was talking about how the soul never dies. And so I was listening intently to the song, and I do want to mention that my daughter Jessica, her favorite color is orange, and she wrote a poem about the color orange in eighth grade, and it was published in a little newspaper for the school. And so that it was a big joke. Everything she liked was orange. She wore orange all the time. So at any rate, as I was listening to the song, I was stopped at a red light. And at the red light, I noticed there was a service station across from me. And out of the service station pulled this silver SUV. It was a brand new, shiny silver SUV. And it had spray paint, orange spray paint all over it. And it pulled up beside me at the red light. And I glanced over at it thinking, who in the world would spray a brand new silver SUV with orange spray paint and ruin it? And as I was looking at the SUV, I saw that it was written on there, "Happy Mother's Day." And I took another look at it, and the light changed. And as it changed, I saw the hood of the car also. And on the hood of the car was written, "I love you, Mom." And I just couldn't believe it, because the connection with the song that I was listening to and then the color orange, you know, spray painted all over the SUV, I was just in shock. So I called my husband screaming, and I called my other daughter saying, I think I just got a happy Mother's Day sign from Jessica.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And as you said, I mean, if the car was a victim of vandalism, you know, who's going to spray "Happy Mother's Day" on it and "I love you, Mom," you know? So, and the fact that you were asking for a sign, it came like gangbusters. So it's amazing, isn't it, how, you know, people in spirit seem to be able to either be aware of how events are going to unfold or actually, you know, assist in making them happen. So it's...
Right. I've always heard that there's no time on the other side, so maybe because she was a couple days late on the sign, I'm thinking, well, maybe, you know, she was a little bit off with time, but he still had the right idea.
Yeah. Did you say the anniversary was today?
It's today, the
anniversary.
Yeah.
Yes, and my husband and daughter and her boyfriend, we were on our way to get something to eat this evening, and all four of us got in the car, and we turned on the radio, and her song played. There's a certain song that she plays for us all the time, and it's Build Me Up Buttercup, and I hear it at special times of the year, and that song was out back in the 60s, and it's not a song that you would think you would hear very often, but tonight we got in the car and we were going out to eat because we kind of all stayed off work today, you know, to kind of commemorate her passing. And we were together and her song came on. So that was another sign that I got from her tonight.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. And I'm sorry for your loss, but you know in your heart that she is just on the other side of the veil. And still with us.
Sounds like she's more on this side.
Yeah, she's certainly taking an active role.
Right on cue.
Fran, thanks so much for calling
in. You're very welcome, and thank you for giving me the chance to talk about it.
I appreciate it. Take care, and let us know if you get any more signs today.
Oh, great. I sure will. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was a nice story, and I just want to add to that when you do see those signs, it's not like you're fishing and saying, how does it fit in? How does it fit in? Sometimes when you go to a medium, you try and make things fit. It's like along with the sign, you get this instinctive, immediate knowledge that it belongs to you.
Yeah, you don't sit back and try to rationalize.
Yeah, like the orange drew her in. The orange sucked her right in. She didn't see the message until the car actually pulled up alongside of her.
Right.
So...
Let's go to our next caller.
Okay, I think we've got Phyllis and Janet together on line three.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Phyllis and Janet.
Yes, hi, Bob and Fran. We're so happy to be on. Do you want me to start?
Sure.
Okay, all right. Actually, I just thought of one that I wanted to say first because it was so obvious, and then I'll go into the other one. I was on my way. I was teaching part-time after I retired, actually 2 years ago. It was about 5 months after my husband passed away in 2010. My name is Phyllis, as you know, but my middle name is Andrea, and my husband loved that name. And all of a sudden, you know, it was a beautiful day, sunny day. I'm on a major highway, Route 280 in New Jersey, and there was not a lot of traffic or construction, but all of a sudden, the traffic, whatever there was, slowed down, and there was a white truck, a little truck with black letters that passed me and said Andrea. Well, he pronounced it Andrea, but everybody pronounced it Andrea. So that really, really threw me for a loop. I was so happy, and, you know, the other, which I think is kind of more poignant, okay, my husband loved this touch lamp. He loved it, and my father, my husband, were living with me, and my father had one, and he had one, and I was staying with my husband the last months, and he loved this lamp. It cannot go on unless you touch it. This is what's so unbelievable about it. I was in the family room, and by the way, this touch lamp was moved to different positions in the room. This family room is all different now, but at the time, 2 years ago, I was with my husband, and I stayed with him before he went in the hospital. And what happened, and so, you know, he stayed in those the last weeks, and I was sleeping on the couch. He was in a hospital bed. What happened was, this happened several times, that all of a sudden the lamp would come on. It happened first about a year after he passed away. But then all of a sudden, within the last year, Janet moved in with me. We met at the grief group, as you know. And the night Janet moved in, it went on. And Janet and I were sitting in the family room. It has three levels, and we were a little spooked out. My dad was on the leather couch, and we were sitting on the other side. And Janet said, "Is that you, Rolf? That's my husband." And she said, if it is, could you please bring the light up? And it went up to the second level and then the third level.
Hmm.
And it's been coming home. It's been coming on intermittently ever since.
Yeah.
And I have one more, but I don't know. You know, should I just say the third one before Janet speaks? Is that all right?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. The other one, which was unbelievable, too, was it was exactly a year after he passed away. And I was lying in bed. It was that time in between when the mediums say, you know, you get some soul connections. It was like between 4:30 and 5 o'clock. Which
right.
is when he passed away 2 years ago. I was in a state. I was awake. It was not a dream. And I felt this enormous hug around me. And I really felt really good about it, and then I woke up, and that was it.
Hmm.
I mean, I didn't wake. I wasn't in a dream state. It was just, like, in between.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, Phyllis, that, you know, we hear often, you know, this sense of presence. Sometimes it's just knowing that the loved one's in the room, and sometimes it's actually feeling the touch or a hug. And
right.
your other story is quite interesting, but prevalent too. That people, it seems that spirit is able to manipulate, you know, electric devices like light very often. So, I guess you know, your husband is again. I guess he's telling you when he approves of things. It's the only thing I can.
I guess
think
you're
of.
Right. I hope. I think you're right. He was like that too. So, thank you, Bob and Fran. I'm going to put Janet on. All right.
Sure.
Hi, Bob and Fran. How are you tonight?
Hi, Janet.
Oh,
I know
I'm
you
so
had,
happy to be here.
I know you had a nice story, too.
I had a life partner who had 5 years case of cancer, and I was there till the last breath. One incident to follow up with what Phyllis had said was that after my partner had the last breath, I was really hysterical in the room, and the nurses asked me to walk out and stand outside the room while they prepped the body. As I'm standing out there, I was just hysterical. Suddenly, I felt the arms surrounding me tightly, and it made me stop crying. It made me feel that I was glad till the end and that I had that final experiences of feeling something that
right.
was left for me.
Yeah, and when that happened, you had no doubt that it was your partner, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. There was no one around. I was the only one in the room at
right.
the time of death.
Now
so there was no doubt that was my partner.
Right.
So
now
that
I know
was one of
right, you wrote to us about an event that happened in a blizzard, so why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, my best experience that I've ever had was my partner died the next day after Christmas, December 26, 09, and then the first Valentine's Day thereafter, there was a very big blizzard. I was unable to even get out of my house to get my mail until 3 days later. And the snow was just so deep and just, but very, very beautiful outside. I then opened up my garage door to go out to the rear of my home 3 days later to get my mail as my box was outside beyond my driveway. As I opened up the door downstairs, my breath was taken away as there was hearts, huge hearts, intertwined and carved in the snow in my driveway. It was huge. It covered the entire two-car driveway.
Yeah.
There were no footsteps around or car marks or anything around it. It was just very, you know, clean snow, but very heavily carved deeply. And after this experience, I received hearts one more time 1 year later on Valentine's itself. And since then, I haven't had any other signs at all. But from my first experience, I got so excited I began snapping shots, photos. So I do have that as proof.
Yeah, and you know, that's wonderful, because you'll always have those. And you did, as you mentioned, when it happened, you wanted to be sure, so you looked around. I mean, if somebody, you know, some kids had come by to make hearts, then you would have seen all the footprints.
No foot marks. Nothing from a truck. Nothing.
Right.
You know, it was just clean snow. In fact, it was just so deep even when I went out to get my mail that third day.
Yeah, well, it's a wonderful story, and it's another example of people in spirit being able to not only can they communicate telepathically, but they can affect matter, so they can manipulate things to get the message across. So how wonderful that you got that those hearts, and I'm sure you'll never forget them.
I'll never forget it. Yeah. Thank you for letting me speak tonight.
Well, thanks for calling in, and we hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Bob and Fran.
Great
job.
Thank you. And again, you know, here you go. When she was hysterical, crying after he had passed, and the nurses, you know, coldly send her out of the room so they can prep the body, she gets this hug. Now, normally when you're upset and somebody comes up to you and they hug you, it makes you cry more to get it out of your system.
Right.
But this kind of afterlife encounter, and most afterlife encounters, come with a telepathic message that lets the receiver know, with a sense we don't have here in the physical world, or that we don't recognize here in the physical world, that their loved ones are still with them, and there's that sense of calming that comes along with the experience.
Yeah, that's a good point, because you would think, I mean, if I was walking down the street and all of a sudden I felt somebody hugging me, you know, that could be a frightening experience to some.
Right.
However, this came with the knowledge of love, you know, and
right.
You know, so that's interesting. Unfortunately, we didn't take our first break, so we're going to go to a break now, and when we come back, we're going to be hearing more from our listeners about the unseen world and afterlife encounters, so stay with us.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windrige.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or A-Trans-C. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Just tuning in, this is a special edition of Signs of Life Radio, where we have turned over the airwaves to our very own listeners as they share their personal stories about communication with those on the other side. This show is sponsored by Equine Muscle Massage Therapy by Jan Barson, and she can be reached by phone at 631-862-1402. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to our show, we have a few important foundation updates for our listeners. Here at Forever Family Foundation, we're sending out a big thank you to our supportive listeners who have made possible this past year of bringing Signs of Life Radio to you. They know that even though we are a 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization, it still takes a lot of money to do the work we do. And yet, we know that not everyone has extra income they can send along to support the continuation of our programming. So this is how easy it is to keep this radio show alive without sending us money. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that is taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Then, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com, but first use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending will come back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find what you were looking for, in their more than 900 online stores like Lord & Taylor, Mattel, Nordstrom, QuickBooks, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. How to Listen When Your Children Speak is an afternoon workshop for parents who have lost children this Saturday from 2 to 6 p.m. in Bethel, Connecticut. It is full. We want to thank Angelina Diana for being the medium who is going to bring through the spirit communication for these parents. Our annual November conference is set for Phoenix, Arizona at the beautiful Hilton Phoenix Airport Hotel with free shuttle service to and from the airport as well as to local attractions. And this conference will be the first of its kind as an intensive interactive weekend. So make your arrangements and reservations now as the hotel block is filling up. This weekend we'll begin with our annual Friday night fundraiser on November 9th featuring Long Island medium Teresa Caputo, and we'll continue through November 10th and 11th with a select group of esteemed scientists answering your deepest questions about the reality of the spirit world. The weekend also features certified mediums Dave Campbell and Deborah Martin, who will be joining our panel of expert presenters, Dr. Evan Alexander, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Julie Beischel, Dr. Stafford Betty, and Dr. Claude Swanson. 12-12-12, don't miss being at the right place on the most spiritual date of the year. 12-12-12 is a medium marathon featuring an evening of four extraordinary mediums, Bobby Allison, Kim Russo, Siri Bernstein, and Laura Lynn Jackson at Long Island University CW Post in Brookville, New York. Seats may be reserved on our website. And Holidays Past this year is in four locations: Natick, Massachusetts with medium Joanne Gerber, Pompton Lakes, New Jersey with medium Janet Nohavik, Bethel, Connecticut with Angelina Diana, and Melville, New York with star of Emmy-nominated TV show The Afterlife, medium Suzanne Northrup. Please visit Forever Family Foundation website for dates, all Saturday nights in December, and to make your reservations. Bob?
Need a drink after all that?
I need a drink after all that.
Why don't we get right back to our phones?
Okay, we've had Veronica
holding,
and she is online too.
Veronica?
Hi, hello.
Hi.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, welcome.
Hello.
Veronica, well, we hear you.
Okay,
how
very good.
You?
Hi, Fran and Bob. Thanks for taking my call. I have been listening to other people's stories, and it's just so warming and wonderful to hear the stories, and I'm just so grateful for everyone calling in. As you know, you both know, and the listeners may not know, I lost my mom 3 years ago, and we had a very, very close relationship, and I've had a lot of afterlife communication from her. One of the most significant ones, which stays with me to this day, is back in 2009, about 3 months after she passed, maybe less than 3 months, I was attempting to register for your conference, and because I'd heard about it, and I really wanted to go, and it had a PayPal thing you had to use to register, and the PayPal would not take my credit card. This is another credit card story, like the lady with the cat had.
Yeah, I
only use PayPal maybe once a year at Christmas time for like a small gift, so I didn't really keep it very active. But my credit card was on file, but for some reason it wouldn't accept my card, and I didn't know what to do. So I kind of psychically and vocally spoke to my mom, and I kind of said to her, you know, I don't know what to do. I can't seem to get this working. Do you want me to go to this? And I heard her voice very clearly in my head say to me, use my card. Now, I kept her credit card open even though there was no balance on it, but I kept it active, and I went into her wallet because I have all her papers and everything. And I thought, okay, I'll try this. Now, my mom was a senior citizen, and she never used the computer, so PayPal would not know who she is. So I said, all right, I'll try this. So I keyed in her credit card information, and it was accepted right away. And I said, well, I guess you really want me to go, so, Mom, please show up at this. And then I went to the conference, which, by the way, was wonderful, and I really enjoy all the conferences I've been to. That's a little plug for your organization.
Well,
and I had a really good reading there. Sorry, what did you say, Fran?
I said thank you.
What?
Thank you.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure. So I had a really good reading with one of the mediums of that, and that was a really significant moment. Another moment that was really significant with her, and there are many, but this is another one. When I was going through the arrangements, you know, after she passed with the insurance and all that, she had a small life insurance plan that had been set up by her mother, my grandmother, who passed away before I was born, and she was listed as the beneficiary. So I had to kind of prove that my grandmother had passed for the insurance company, even though she would have been like 100 and something years old. And I didn't have her death certificate, and I didn't know where she died. So I had to call up all these different towns in New Jersey, and I didn't know who else to ask because I don't really have any other immediate relatives on her side of the family. I'm the last one.
Right.
So I didn't know what to do. So I kind of psychically asked her. I said, Mom, I need to know this. Where did Grandma pass? And her voice in my head again said to me, Holy Name Hospital, which is a hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey, which is near where I live, where she also lived. So I called up the Teaneck town records, and I gave them my grandmother's name, and they looked it up, and they said, yeah, she passed in Holy Name. You're right. And it's right here. I'll get you the information. And I went, thanks, Mom. So we had a really close relationship. And then recently, for Memorial Day, I went to the cemetery because there's a service at the cemetery where our family plot is, and I went to look at her grave, and I hadn't been there in about a year and a half, and it's on a grassy area, but it's in a row of other cemeteries, of other headstones, and everybody else in the row had just kind of plain grass or kind of sand, and this was just this past May, or like sandy soil, just a couple months ago. But on her grave, there were all little blue forget-me-nots and wildflowers that were sprouting up just on her space. And I think that was the message for me, because she really loved flowers. She loved wildflowers.
Right.
And there were forget-me-nots.
Yeah. Well, it certainly...
And today happens to be her... Sorry?
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, there's so many examples of you communicating telepathically with, you know, getting messages back and forth. And that could be because you were so close you know, when you when she was in the physical, and it's just continuing now that she doesn't have a body. But I know you started to say that, this is the anniversary of your mother's passing to spirit. So that maybe that's
another... actually today is her birthday.
Oh, it's a birthday. Okay.
Today is her birthday.
Yeah.
So I wanted to wish her a happy birthday. But actually, the day I got your email, Bob, about this call was the anniversary of her passing, which was August 6th.
Okay.
Everything kind of happened in August.
Yeah,
and
a lot of synchronicities.
I'm sorry?
I said a lot of synchronicities here.
Yeah, and she was very Catholic, so August 6th is the Transfiguration Day, which is a very significant day in the church history, and I thought it was kind of interesting that she chose that day to pass. But a lot of other things happened, and it's too long to tell here, but really, thank you so much, and happy birthday, Mom, and I know you hear this. Just one more thing. Today, when I was swimming today, and I was thinking a lot about her, and I happened to look down, and there was a little blue plastic, like a heart-shaped child's bracelet that was shining in the sun right on the grass. And I said to myself, that's a sign that she's thanking me for the birthday greeting and that she loves me. And our relationship continues. So I totally believe in this, and I just wanted to share that with everyone. So thank you.
Absolutely. And thanks for calling, Veronica. Hope to see you soon.
Very welcome. You too.
Okay. Good night. And let's jump to another call, no?
Okay, well, we have Roman holding on, not sure what line, but we've got Roman holding.
Okay.
Roman, are you there?
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right.
Are you there? Great.
Yes, how are you, Roman?
Hello, friend, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Nice, not bad. Nice to hear from you again.
Nice to hear from you.
I have practice. Thank you. I actually don't have a band practice tonight, so I figured I'd listen to the show and call in.
Well, see how things work out.
That's great. I know that you've had some encounters. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I just want to congratulate you guys, first of all, on the wonderful job you guys are doing. You're providing a lot of, a lot of relief to a lot of people that are, you know, grieving and all that kind of stuff, you know. Death is a part of life, and it's a thing that we all have to face, whether it's our parents or our children, and it's never easy. But you guys make it easier. So on behalf of all your listeners, I just want to say thank you very much, and wonderful job.
Well, thank you, Roman. So, I know that you have had some significant communications.
Yes.
You care to share one with us?
Well, sure. As you and Fran both know, that I had a 5-year-old son that passed away he had a febril convulsion, and he accidentally drowned in the bathtub. He survived by his twin sister, and because they're twins, there's a kind of connection that I can't explain. While he was still alive, there was a kind of telepathic connection between them, where they would know what each other was doing without even seeing each other in the same room sometimes, although they were most of the time together. That kind of goes on into the into today. Every Friday, it's pretty funny the way it works out. And believe me, I was not into this stuff at all until my son passed. And then, I'm looking for answers and on my quest and all that kind of stuff. And I'm noticing things. A couple of experiences that I've had with my son is a couple of dream visitations, which, many of your listeners have had. Wish I'd have more of them. And I'm trying to learn how to have those dreams where you know that you're dreaming. What do they call them? What kind of dreams are those? Lucid dreams, right?
Lucid dreams, yeah.
I've had in front of people, I've had lights flickering, just definitely, not because of a shortage or a short in the system or anything like that. But, I remember once I was giving a guitar lesson, I had 5 students in the basement, and the light turned on in my basement where I have my studio. So and we all kind of looked at each other and said, wow, that's really weird, because lights usually, it's easier to cut the electricity than to turn it on. And
right.
It actually turned on. I have like 5 witnesses that were there. Also, I know when I saw you guys last time, I shared a picture appearance where my son appeared posthumously in a picture as an orb. And just, telling I'll tell your listeners exactly what happened. I was at a... I was at a, it was a christening that I was at in Yonkers with my family. And somebody took a picture of me, arm in arm with some people, and this orb appears right on top of my heart. I was wearing a sweater, which is not a reflective material, and this orb just, like, out of nowhere appeared right on my heart. What I did is I blew up the orb, and I started seeing kind of a face in there. So I sent it to my uncle, who is he's a professional graphic artist, and he did this thing in Adobe Photoshop called the Dodge and Burn, where it just enhances the pixelation colors just to make it a little bit more evident. So it doesn't alter the picture in any way except for enhances the colors. And the third, the picture that we got back was clearly his face with angel wings on it. It was like the most amazing thing. So that was like probably his biggest sign that he gave me. That was like in December of 2009. It was like 2 months after he passed away. But continuously, my daughter has the visitations every Friday from my son, and he says they play games. He pops out of the ceiling, lands on her bed, that kind of stuff. And she's very open about it, and I keep encouraging her. I tell her, do not let anybody ever tell you that this is impossible, because if once you start believing that it's impossible, those visitations could very well end, and I don't want to see that happening.
Yeah.
So that's my story. Those are kind of my stories.
Roman, does your daughter ever question you or her mom about and ask whether you see him as well, or does she question why it's only she that apparently is in communication?
I think, like, from day one, she's never even had the chance to question, because we've been, I've been telling her, you're so lucky that you can see him, and, I wish that I can see him. And she kind of just accepts the fact that she sees him and we don't. And, I think she understands that it's because she's, she was in the womb with him. She's a twin. There's some kind of connection there that we can't explain. And I think she truly believes that. And I believe that, too.
Yeah, so do I. And the evidence, there are many books have been written. Guy Lyon Playfair wrote a wonderful book called Twin Telepathy, and twins are tremendously, psychic in many cases, and that continues even when one's no longer in the physical. Roman, I thank you so much for calling in and sharing, and I hope that
very welcome.
Your whole family gets many, many more signs from your son.
I hope so too. We're staying open minded and praying, and hopefully we'll continue seeing these signs. And I can't wait to, not that I'm rushing anything along, but I can't wait to see my son in the afterlife and finally meet him again.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from.
We're right there with you.
I know.
Roman, thanks
I know, you guys.
All right.
Thank you very much, and take care, and we'll talk to each other soon, hopefully.
Okay, great. And
do you think I could get this one last story?
Okay, again.
Okay, here's one more from Karen. My mother was visiting for my son's fifth birthday. He was coloring in a book with crayons, and she remarked that he colored beautifully. He told her that Grandpa Ray taught him to color. My mother was astonished and chose not to press him for more information. Later, as he sat at the kitchen table playing Game Boy, I questioned him casually. I told him that Grandpa told me what he said about seeing Grandma told me what he said about seeing Grandpa Ray. I asked him if he has seen any other grandpas, and he said no, just him. He said that he has seen him a lot, even when he was a baby. I asked him where he saw him, and he looked up from his Game Boy and pointed to the area where his coloring books are kept and said, there, and at heaven's door. This revelation filled my heart with such joy because my father died when I was 15. I was always sorry that my father never got to see me get married or know of my four children. Now I know that is not the case.
Yeah, and that's wonderful, and I love to hear those stories because it just shows you that children are not inhibited, and they just say what they see.
And they let it come through, just like Roman just told us, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah.
So very quickly, we now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind. As we visualize the healing light upon Stanley Mulan, Julie B., Chase McKenna, Elizabeth McKenna, Glenna Irwin, Barbara Petillo, Pat Longo, Vincent Longo, David Haith, Rita Springer, CJ, Eileen LaFada, Mark Varon, Wendy Lippo, Vicky Steffi, Nancy Scheel, Barbara Russell, Diane Archangel. And now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, planktons, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Earth's waters, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And that was taken from the original Gulf Water Prayer by Masaru Emoto back on May 9th, 2010.
And remember that our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.